Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. Again, the number to call up is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646 over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, channel 82+. Plus, you can send in your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSirius. To get your voicemails played, once again, at SiriusXM.com/GetSirius to get your voicemail messages played in case you can't stay on the line for but so long because the lines are usually filled. Let me get to something right now. First of all, there's a star that's ascending before our very eyes in the National Basketball Association. His name is Victor Wembanyama. I watched him go against the Lakers last night, and there's two storylines emanating out of that game last night, in which the San Antonio Spurs blew out the Los Angeles Lakers. One would be the dominance of this 7'5" all-purpose player. He's not a center. He's not a power forward. He's just everything. He's shooting like 39% from three-point range. He's making more than 50% of his shots. He's got a handle. He's got a J. A pull-up J, a set shot, a mid-range game, a three-point game. And obviously at 7'5", barely having to jump to dunk, he can do that too. He's averaging 24-11 with nearly three blocks per game. And he absolutely positively destroyed the Los Angeles Lakers last night at the Crypto.com Arena in Southern California, downtown L.A. You know, when you look at him and the San Antonio Spurs, is it time to start asking ourselves, are the Spurs good enough to represent the West in the NBA Finals? Are they good enough? Is it time to start making plans for the Riverwalk? Because when I look at Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs, I'm seeing a team that is going up against the reigning defending NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. You played them about five times. You beat them four, and you blew them out at least twice. I see no fear from the San Antonio Spurs. And I see somewhat of an inability for the Oklahoma City Thunder to figure them out. And I keep harkening back to Jalen Williams being asked a question weeks ago as to why the San Antonio Spurs were given the Oklahoma City Thunder so much trouble. And Jalen Williams just sat up there calmly and looked at everybody and said, they've got this guy there that's about 7'5". Just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing guys in the NBA 6'7", 6'8", that look like mini-me standing next to him. They're looking up. You ever see tourists when they show up to cities like New York and they look at the tall buildings and they're looking way up in the sky? That's how you find yourself looking at Victor Wembanyama. I remember when I had to interview him the night he was drafted, number one overall by the San Antonio Spurs. I was interviewing him at the NBA draft. ESPN had asked me to look up to him. To this day, affectionately, because no harm, no foul, to this day, it's the most embarrassing interview I've ever done. Because I literally came damn near up to his waistline. A little bit above his waistline. I mean, I was looking up. I had to stretch to get the microphone up to his face. The brother is 14 inches taller than me. That is a foot and 2 inches taller. That's who he is. Think KD, 7 feet, 7'6" wingspan. With a handle and a J. And now think Wembanyama doing pretty much the same damn thing, and he's 5 inches taller, whose wingspan is probably about 3 or 4 inches wider. This is some unprecedented stuff. And the reason why you have to marvel at him and give him credit where credit is due is because it's not just that he's tall. Yao Ming was 7 feet six. Sean Bradley was 7 feet six. We've seen tall dudes in the NBA before. We just didn't see them with these kind of skills until Wembanyama has come along. He's that good. He's that good. That was the first storyline that came out of last night's game. Here's the other one. The NBA has to do something about its tanking issues. You're the Los Angeles Lakers, and I know Rui Hachimura was in the lineup, but for the most part, because others have started games, the Lakers sat five starters. Now, what the hell? What the hell? It's a disrespect to the paying customer, to the fans. It's abhorrent what the NBA has gotten away with doing. And I'm not pointing the finger at the league office. I'm not pointing the finger at Commissioner Adam Silver. He's brought it to the attention of the people. He doesn't like it. We don't like it. When are we going to address the level of disrespect the game that is the NBA is showing to fans and the paying customer? I have no problem with guys getting rest. I have no problem with guys sitting out games from time to time. But all of y'all at the same time, all of y'all at the same time, you're a coaching staff. You can't schematically come up with a better plan than that. You're a player. And you walk into an arena and you see thousands of paying customers in attendance. There's nothing inside of you that says, man, I got to play tonight. Because in my years, watching and admiring the NBA before actually covering it, that's what I saw players do. I saw Isaiah Thomas do it. I saw Julius Irvin do it. I saw Larry Bird do it. I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar do it. I saw James Worthy do it. I saw Patrick Ewing do it. Time and time and time again, Isaiah Thomas, Karl Malone, John Stockton. Karl Malone played 81 games in the season at age 39. As my man Doggy pointed out on First Take this morning. I got to get my researcher to look up. I want these stars who've played 82 games. Michael Jordan played all 82 games eight, nine seasons. We're looking at guys that don't do that for one. We're looking at healthy scratches. Oh, this guy needs rest. He was a little bit tired. Did you say that to the customer when you took their money? I mean, this is some straight BS. And I'm a take it to a place that's uncomfortable for other people to take it to, but damn it, they ain't me. I don't give a damn. I'm going to tell you why this is problematic. You see, you doing it after you got your money. Because with the collective bargaining agreement and 50% of basketball-related income, 100% being split 50-50, with nine-figure salaries being doled out, with the modern-day athlete being paid generational money, no, we don't have to harken back to the days when George Mikan and Lou Alcindor and Wilt Chamberlain were playing. We understand the NBA today is not what it was back then. Nobody's trying to be archaic here. But from the 90s to the 2000s and beyond, there's a boatload of money that cats have been played, that have been paid. And you see, I mean, at least back in the day, cats were off due to injury. You're watching guys that are taking days off of knee rest. You know, we live in the world of anti-aging. We see saunas, red light saunas. We see cold plunges. You understand that can contribute to cutting down inflammation and activate that brown fat in your body and contribute to recovery issues. We see cats with red light beds, hyperbaric chambers. I would know, I've used them. Why you think I'm looking so healthy? And I'm here to tell you something right now. I ain't no damn professional athlete. I just want to live better. I want to elevate and improve my quality of life. What's their excuses? You got cats getting paid $200-300 million. $200-300 million. And you taking days off. Healthy scratches. Healthy scratches. We're not talking about LeBron James here. The man's 41 in his 23rd season. Nah, we ain't doing that here. But most of these other cats, what? I haven't uttered a single criticism of J.J. Redick or Rob Pelinka in the last year and a half. Damn, fellas, all five starters. Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, Brian Windhorst, comes on the show talking about how, you know, he's recovering. Well, hell, he played the other night. What the hell were you doing when you were missing all of those games? Watching General Hospital? Run Young and the Restless? What's up? What the hell is going on? I don't understand this. We had a situation for the Utah Jazz. It was the other night against Miami. And what happened was, is that they sat some cats down, okay? That's what they did. They sat some cats down, all right? And I want y'all to read, this lead to y'all, written by Chris Mannix, who does a great job, by the way, Sports Illustrated, covering the NBA. I want y'all to hear this lead. This is what good writing. Think about this. Okay? Let me read this to you following Monday night's game. The Utah Jazz beat the Miami Heat. Here was Chris Mannix's lead in Sports Illustrated. On Monday night, the Utah Jazz suffered a setback in Miami. They won. That was his lead. They suffered a setback because they won. Because the objective is not to lead. It's to throw games. What the hell is going on here? They acquired Jaren Jackson Jr., sat him. You had Laura Markkanen late in the game, and you pulled him. Washington Wizards, you recently acquired Trae Young and Anthony Davis, but are rushing neither of them to get on the court and play. I know we've got some good players. I just brought up this cat at Kansas. And I got brainlocked for the moment. I forget his name. He's projected to be the number one pick in the draft potentially. And the brothers missed a few games. And what Darren Peterson. Listen, I seen him play once or twice. The brother got mad skills. He can ball. He's supposed to be the number one overall pick. They got him missing, over 11 games? And what we hearing? Flu-like symptoms. Cramps. I could say what's on my mind when I heard that word, but I'm not going to go there. I don't want to offend nobody. Cramps. What the hell is going on? I mean, this is not good. And something has to be said about it. You got Utah. Thank God for Cooper Flagg, because we know they ain't really trying to win in Dallas, but they got that brother putting on a show. Thank God for him. One of the voices I respect a lot, he's my colleague for many, many years. He used to work on NBA Shoot Around together before it became named NBA Countdown. He does an outstanding job calling the games with Mike Breen and Richard Jefferson, my man Tim Legler. He was recently on SiriusXM Radio. I think it was NBA Radio. And he was talking, the Bill Simmons podcast. He was on Bill Simmons podcast. I apologize for that. And he was talking about the NBA and the product that's been put out on the floor. I want y'all to pay rapt attention to Tim Legler because very few people on the planet know more basketball than this brother. I'm here to tell you. And for him to call games, to watch games, to see these guys up close and personal, sitting courtside, literally licensed to call the games, please listen to Tim Legler talk about the product he's witnessing on the basketball court in today's game. Listen to this.
I've also seen a tremendous fluctuation. The number of nights that I've seen teams either in person when I've sat courtside calling a game, sitting at home on League Pass watching the game, the fluctuation in effort. There are nights when you watch teams and you can't believe how flat they are.
Mm.
You know, and I've seen more of that this year than any other time, which means on any given night, anybody is capable of beating anybody. It may sound like you think that's a cliche because it's the NBA, but normally that's not the case. If you have teams that are contenders, that are teams that are really playing for something later in the year, we all know that, and you get a team that is not, or a team that's got a bunch of young dudes, or a team that's clearly not really that concerned about winning games because they're trying to think about the future, like, and you get that team on your home floor mid-season in the dog days, like, you're supposed to beat that team down. And I've seen more nights now where those teams have been flat, or one team even in a matchup where two really good teams are about to play and you're super excited about the game. And for whatever reason, one of them just comes out and they're so flat, it's almost borderline disinterested. And it leads to these crazy scores, these really weird results. Some of the blowouts we've seen from bad teams beating down good teams.
Right.
Not just winning like buzzer beaters, like, oh, wow, they played hard. They thought they were in the game and they eventually won it. No, they beaten teams by 25 and 30 points on their home floor.
You see what I'm saying? How is a fan supposed to feel when they hear something like that? You don't see that in the NFL. Although it's not as taxing on the body, you don't even see that in Major League Baseball. They got a license to literally sit out there sucking on pumpkin seeds. But it's rare that you're able to look at a baseball player and say, you know what, they're not really interested in doing their job. One of the great, great moments that I saw this past Major League Baseball season, and it was one of the reasons that I made sure to pick up the phone and call Commissioner Rob Manfred myself. And I also had Dave Roberts, the World Series championship manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers, on this show immediately after they won the World Series. Is because as great as that World Series was in terms of performances, ladies and gentlemen, it was even better from a competitive standpoint. Did you see Guerrero trying to take down the Dodgers? Did you see these boys going after the Dodgers and pushing them to the brink? Did you see Shohei Ohtani making $700 million go out there and swing that bat and still showed up on the hill to pitch game 7? I was like, this is what it's all about. This is what we're talking about here. This is a champion that said, yo, and the elite player in the game that said, yo, give me the ball. And he had just pitched a couple of games earlier. His arm was damn near dead. I got a little something for you. Gave up a 2-run shot in the third inning, came back in the fourth or the fifth, whenever it was, and made sure he made up for it with an RBI. This is what I'm talking about. It's knowing who you are, knowing who the audience is, and saying, I'm going to give you what I got. I'm going to give you what I got. It's stuff like this that has people looking at an Anthony Davis, for example, and saying that's why the Lakers championship in the bubble was illegitimate. Not because of Anthony Davis's skill set, because the brother can ball. He's good for 28 and 12 a night when healthy and on a basketball court. The question the cynics kept asking about him, not me, because I think it was incredible what they pulled off in the bubble, but others did not. And here was their reason why. If there was no interruption to the 2019-2020 season that was derailed and stalled by COVID, if there had been no interruption, there's no way in hell the Lakers would have won, because they were saying Anthony Davis would not have been healthy. Anthony Davis would not have been able to make it through the season. He could not have gone from February through March, April, into May and June and won a championship. No way he would have held up. That's what they all said. And we see stuff like this, why, as to why that is. Anthony Davis got traded to Washington from the Dallas Mavericks. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Davis is making $54.1 million this year. He's played in about 31 games for the Dallas Mavericks. He's missed about 50. He's making $58.4 million next year. Totally guaranteed, every penny. And then he's got a player option in 2027, 2028 to make $62.7 million. He ain't playing. Joel Embiid is hurt all the time, but he's legitimately hurt all the damn time. He came into the league with a foot injury. How do you think it makes the paying customer feel when you see numbers like that? And you're saying to yourself, or Kawhi Leonard, $50 million this year, $50.3 million next year. Fully guaranteed, $100.3 million, guaranteed. How do you think it makes them feel? This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. You don't see that in the NFL. You don't see that in Major League Baseball. You don't see that in hockey. You don't see it. The closest thing you see to it is in boxing, because they ain't giving us the fights we want to see when we want to see them. But at least you can blame the promoters. Now, the players will tell you, it ain't us. It's the organization. It's the strength and conditioning coach. It's the medical staff. It's the coaches. Yep. When you're making this kind of money, you do what you do. Trey Young's been traded from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. He's obviously looking to re-up. Okay? He's got a player option for next season at $48.9 million. He's looking for a new long-term deal. That's why he was willing to depart from Atlanta to go to Washington. He's at $46.3 million right now. I don't want to be in anybody's pocket preventing them from getting their paper. I just want them to show up to work. You're an organization, you can't sit down five damn starters in one game. That is ridiculous. You can't spread it out and make sure that most of your squad is intact. It's very bad, y'all. It's very bad. And once again, you're going to hear people lamenting why these players is getting their money. And then down the line, when another collective bargaining negotiation comes forward, you're going to hear people talking about, yo, man, you ain't showing up to work. You don't deserve this paper. We're going to try to cut down on those guaranteed years. The things that were done to uplift player empowerment and player cachet for decades before they ever came along, these players and today's game with coaches and executives and owners are getting in the way of a product spent decades being built. It's a disgrace. It really is. 888 Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute. Don't go away. It's Stephen A. in the house. I'm here for you.